Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah. Today is Take 10, number 196. As we are in the middle of the month of Elul, so I wanted to discuss a little bit of the meaning of the month and some of the customs of this month. So what is the month of Elul? Obviously, it's the final month of the calendar year. The new calendar year is going to be upon us, Tavshin Ayin Ches 5778. And so this is the last month. So some understand quite simply that Elul is the month which is before the end of the year. It's the last month of the year. It's a time for introspection. It's a time for people to think about what this year was. Was it what they wanted it to be? Could it have been more? But of course we know that historically the month of Elul is associated with another very important event relating to tshuva and repentance and the Jews achieving atonement for something they had done in the past. What was that? So of course we know that it's tied to the sin of the golden calf. The Jews worshipped the golden calf. It was the 17th day of Tammuz. Moshe goes up for 40 days to pray on their behalf. He comes down after the 17th day of Tammuz on Rosh Chodesh Elul with the okay to really come back up for another set of 40 days to get the new luchos. And so indeed, he goes up during Rosh Chodesh Elul, duration of the month of Elul, through the 10 days plus 10 days, 30 days of Elul plus the 10 days, up until Yom Kippur, and descends in Yom Kippur. And so these 40 days express the atonement for the sin of the golden calf, Moshe's and the entire Jewish people's second chance. And so that begins on Rosh Chodesh Elul. This is the idea of the Yalkut Shimoni, begins on Rosh Chodesh Elul and ends on Yom Kippur. Okay, so that's the segment that we know of Elul. And so it's not just Rosh Hashanah as a day of atonement, Yom Kippur, and we'll talk about these things in the coming weeks, but the month of Elul itself has an atoneful nature to it. It's a great word. If it isn't, it should be. And so here we are in this month, you know, trying to think about what we could do better, where we could improve, and trying to do things a little bit better than we did in the previous month. We know that there are some famous associations to this month. There's a famous pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Vav Gimel, chapter 6, verse 3. It says, Ani ledodi v'dodi li, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. The Roshe Tevos, the acronym of those four words, is Elul, and the words mean, I am to my beloved, right? There's a relationship here, and so we're trying to rekindle a relationship. We're trying to become closer to our beloved, to God, and so there's an association there. There are those who point out that the first four letters of those four words, spell Elul, the last four letters of those four words, are yuds, ani ledodi v'dodi li, and that's 40. Four yuds is 40 in gematria, and because it's 40 in gematria, so we see, corresponding to the 40 days of Elul itself, and that's one pasuk which is famously associated. There's another pasuk from Devarim Lamed Vav, Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav, Umol Hashem Elokecha, God will circumcise, figuratively, es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha, your heart and the heart of your children. Es levav ve'es levavcha ve'es levav is also an acronym. Es levav, aleph lamed, vav lamed ve'es levav. God will circumcise your hearts. What that means is he'll take away the foreskin, so to speak, the covering, the barrier to get to your hearts. And so that's another idea relating to tshuva and relating to opening up our hearts and connecting to God a little bit more more closely. And then finally, there's another reference. There are multiple of these, but there's another reference, which is Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, which is Ish L'Riehu U'Matanos L'Evyonim. Pasuk in Megillas Esther, referring to a person doing kindness to another person on Yom Kippur, and refers that a person will give gifts, one man to their friend, Vav, Matanos Le'Avyonim, and also gifts to the poor. And so there are those who point out that El Yeraba, for example, says that these three psukim actually point out a different element of what we were required to do during these days. We know that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're going to say how tshuva, tefillah, utzadaka, ma'avir, and esra ha'gezerah, the three things that we can do during this period of time. One is teshuva, repentance, and we'll talk about that over the course of the next few weeks. Tefillah, prayer, tzedaka, charity. And so if you think about it, what is tshuva? Tshuva is the pasuk, umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ves levav zarecha. That's the process of coming closer, taking away all the barriers that are possible between us and God. And then there's the pasuk of tefillah. What's that pasuk? Anila dodi vidodi li. The idea of connection, me, you know, turning towards my beloved. That's the principle and the concept of avoda and trying to sort of meet as we do in prayer. And then finally, tzedakah, which is righteousness to our friends. That's the last pasuk of Ish l'Rehu Matanos le'Avyonim. So each one of these famous ideas where we find Elul refer to a different element of the avoda, the service, what we're supposed to be doing during Elul. There are not that many customs in Elul. One custom is to begin blowing the shofar. We do so as a custom, and we blow all of the sounds that we're going to be blowing on Rosh Hashanah. It's just sort of like a summary of those sounds, which again, we'll talk about that in the next bunch of weeks. But it's just a custom. It's a custom that we do. But one of the other things that we do is we say Tehillim Chaf Zayin, L'David Hashem Orivi Ishi. So really, L'David Hashem Orivi Ishi is two parts, and I want to just focus on the two parts in the 4 minutes that we have left, because it's really a stunning paragraph. The very big question in the paragraph, and I'll challenge you all to figure out what the question is, but if you take a look at the first half, the first six psukim versus the last eight psukim, there's a very big difference between the two of them. We're going to focus on the first six, but for homework, either if you're Ashkenazic, the custom is to do it at Shacharis and at Mariv, and if you're Sephardic, Shacharis and at Mincha, but I challenge you to take a look at the themes in the first part of the paragraph versus the second, and to try to see how they're different, because you'll see they're drastically apart. But let's just go through the first six psukim, because they're really stunning, and it explains why they're so important for these days. L'David Hashem Orivi Ishi, by David. David is saying the following chapter. He says, God is my light, Orivi Ishi, and my salvation. Mimi Ira, who would I fear? Hashem Ma'oz Chayai, God is the strength of my life, Mimi Efchad. Who would I be afraid of? Who shall I dread? And so it's confidence. It's confidence in God. Bekrovel amireyem, when evil men close in on me, le'acholos b'sari, to devour my flesh, tzarai v'oivai li, my enemies and foes, hema chashlu v'nafalu. They're the ones who are going to stumble and fall. Right? So there's really very little metaphor. This is the type of thing, you know, we know enemies. We know enemies who have stumbled. We want our enemies to stumble. There's no glorious poetry here. It's really just describing a person having confidence in his creator. Im tachana alai machana, Pasuk Gimel continues. Should an army besiege me? Lo yirali bi. I will not, my heart would not fear. Im takum alai mochama. If war should break out against me, bezos anivatech. In this, I will have faith. And then, the next three psukim deal with perhaps one of the more famous notions of this paragraph. Acha sho'alti me'ez Hashem. You know, the one request, David says, the one request that I have of God, osa avakesh, this I require, shivti be'ez Hashem, I should dwell, is that I should dwell in the house of God, kol yimei chayai, all of my days, lachazos b'noam Hashem ulevaker b'heichalo, to behold the pleasantness of the Lord, to visit in his sanctuary. You know, this is a beautiful idea. Usually people say the genie comes out of the bottle and you have a decision. What's the one decision? What's the one choice you're going to make? So most of us will, of course, choose to have multiple decisions and many more options. But if we only are limited to one, what would it be? So it might be health, it might be happiness, it might be, you know, nachas from children. There are a lot of different possibilities that we might request and ask for. But here, David HaMelech's one request is shifti b'veis Hashem, to have that closeness to God, to really sort of understand the divine, to be intimate with what I understand is as the purpose of the universe. That's what I really want, and that's his goal, and that's our goal in El Kitzbi. Neni besuka biyamra yastina besisar alo, for he will hide me in his tabernacle on the day of adversity. He will conceal me in a hidden place. Betsuya romameni, he will lift me upon a rock. Biata yorim roshi alevai suvosai, and you will raise my head above my enemies. Ve'ez b'chaba alo zivchei srua, and I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of jubilation. Shira va'azamra la'ashem, I will sing and chant to the Lord. So the first six verses in this chapter are very confident. They're confident in God's salvation. They're confident that God's going to take care of us. They're confident that with that relationship, that's all I want, and I'll be secure and I'll be safe. So this custom of saying it every single day in El is not so obvious. It's not so obviously connected in the paragraph itself. It's not so old. It's only a few hundred years old that we've been saying it. It's been found in the Machzorim. There's an interesting Medrash I'll share with you. The Medrash understands this paragraph in these different words. It says, Ori is referring to Rosh Hashanah. That's the light. That is, God is my light because he accomplishes what I accomplish on Rosh Hashanah, lightens and enables me to go forward. V'yishi, and he is my salvation. B'Yom HaKippurim. Mimi Ira, who should I worry about? I have Rosh Hashanah, I have Yom Kippur, I have the ability to sanctify myself, to cleanse myself. And then the Medrash goes on to say how all of the enemies that we're discussing are the Yetzer Hara, are the Umos Ha'olam, the nations of the world. The nations of the world who say, listen, these Jews, they're not so observant, and it's supposed to be big tzaddikim, they're supposed to be the light into the nations, but they're not always so good about it. They're not always so good at it. Halolu of the Avodah Zarah, halolu of the Avodah Zarah. Why are these people being saved? Why are those people not? And that's the confidence we have. The confidence that the Medrash teaches that we have in the month of El, the month of Tshuva, the month of repentance, of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, culminating ultimately in Sukkos, as it says, Ki etzpeneni b'sukkah, as you hide and keep me sheltered in the sukkah. It's the confidence that we have in God's ability to forgive us for all that we do.